We'd like to turn to Galatians 6 and 9. And it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. But let us not be weary in well-doing. I was wondering why one would get weary in being good. The Lord wants us to be good, and He wants us not to get weary in it. The alternative is being bad. We don't want to be bad. We don't want to lose our soul. We don't want to go to hell. So if we don't want to go that direction, all we have to do is keep being good. Be good. Our little great-granddaughter, they sent us a picture. They're teaching her to kneel and pray. She was a little over a year old. And he said, ask Jesus to help you to be a good girl. But I thought that was good that they're teaching her so young to pray. And she does it too. And she says, Jesus. And she's responding. So I thank the Lord that we can be trained to be good and we continually to be good. You know, the enemy wants to come along sometimes and tempt us. But there's nothing in this world that's worth turning away from God. Nothing. It might happen more with younger people than older people because we've been... But it still can happen with us no matter what age we're in. But the Lord wants us to keep being good. Just keep and not be weary in that. Don't be weary in praying. Don't be weary in reading your Bible because you're going to reap what you sow. It seemed like the Lord brought to my mind like this. God has a law. This law is, it's a law. It's from God. All nature has this law, and we as people have the same law. The law will never change. A person will reap what they sow. In everything we do in life, every single day, there's reaping in what we sow. You know, I was mentioning about sleep. Not to sleep too much, but let's not neglect to sleep enough too, right? Because when you get enough sleep, you're energetic. You have enough energy. See, everything in our life, we reap what we sow. When we work and we're diligent around the house or out in the field or wherever the man works, he gets a paycheck. I was thinking about my son-in-law. One of my son-in-laws, all of them are great workers. But the one that I know that he works 6 days a week, never had a day off except Sunday for years and years and years. You know, some of us have been in occupation where we work long hours too, but we could take off. But when you're in a job, let's say 9 to 5 or 8 to 5 or 8 to 7 or 8, you know, long days and 6 days a week. But finally, now, this has gone on for many years. He only had Sunday off. And then Sunday you go to church, you don't have much of a window in the afternoon to do very much, right? And I'm not saying that's a good thing. But I mean, he just really didn't have a day off to do very much. But after all the years, he finally became half owner of this business. Now he gets 4 days off twice a month. That's 8 full days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Twice a month now he gets this. I'm so happy for him. But I was thinking about that. He reaped what he sowed. He got that job when he was 18 years old. 17, okay, I'm sorry. 17, and they couldn't put him out in the... When they found out he was only 17, they thought he was 18. They couldn't put him out there working on cars, so they had to put him at the front desk. Well, he'd done so wonderful at the front desk with people that he never left that front desk. And so this has been many years down the road now. But I'm just thinking of, that's one example, but it just came to mind. You reap what you sow. If you're diligent in your work, someday you will reap it. If we keep being well, live for God. We're not weary in well doing. We live, we put our whole heart in it. Someday we're going to reap heaven. I mentioned something about heaven in Sunday school. You're not going to accidentally get to heaven. Right? You've got to get saved. There's certain steps you got to do. You got to be born again. It doesn't stop there. Then you need to get sanctified or baptized and sanctified and do the steps. Then you got to stay saved. Then you got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So many, many years may happen. I was saved when I was 18. So 50 years has went by. So I've had to keep working on that. And I'm still working on it. So we don't get to heaven accidentally. We have to be well doing. We have to sow. We reap what we sow. We have to continually be diligent and keep trying and keep persevering and keep faithful to God. And it's important. It's our priority in life. There's many things in life we enjoy, but like the sister says, every breath comes from God. Everything he gives us comes from, all comes from God. And we can enjoy life. That's the natural things, is okay, but we can enjoy it in purity and godliness and righteousness. That's what a real Christian enjoys life so much more. I really believe this in my heart. We do not live a boring life. No. We have had so much excitement in our life. And even being in service, we do not know what's going to come up next. We don't even know. Now, I probably knew I was going to preach because I was here, the only preacher, I think. But really, you go to Monarch and you're at all these ministers. We don't know who's going to preach. Well, you know, some churches, they don't like that. They want it all mapped out. But I like the excitement. I like not knowing and trusting in God that he'll provide the right one. I like it. Don't you? I like the excitement. I like the testimonies, the impromptu, you might say, testimonies, or the special singing that we don't know who's going to sing, but, you know, it's just exciting. But, you know, if we continue this race, we will reap what we sow. So the Christian life is not boring. The Christian life is wonderful. And above that, it says in the seventh verse, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I was kind of interesting there what I read about that. It says, mock means turning up your nose or laughing at someone. You know, a manner of scoffing, laughing at someone. God is not mocked means to turn up one's nose at someone or to laugh at. And I was thinking, how many people sometimes maybe laugh at us. Maybe the way we're dressed. I remember one time, Rhonda and I were at the Fair of the Hearts. And, you know, people do, sometimes they kind of look at you the way, in the summertime, the way women are, we're dressed different. I'm not really saying they were laughing at us or nothing like that. But Rhonda made some kind of statement to me that I thought was amusing. Because we thought we dressed different. Some others come along that was really dressed different. She said, Mama, glad we don't look like that. She's amusing. My daughter, they're all amusing, but she's amusing. But anyway, but you know, I'm not ashamed of that. But let them mock. Let them turn up their nose. Let them laugh. It doesn't matter to me because I know I'm on the righteous road. I'm on the good road. So they're turning, and some people think about God, and, oh, I don't need religion, I don't need, and they mock at it, and they laugh at it, but it says God is not going to be mocked. Because in the end, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Everything in life, every good deed you do, I believe that God is watching. God is watching. That sometimes, you know, we do things in life and we really don't even realize we're doing good deed. And we just do something for someone and then later on they mention it. Years go by. I think one time one of the saints said something that I made them some biscuits or something. I forgot. I can't recall it. But what I'm trying to say is we just do things. We don't always take note of what we're doing, but we're sowing. We're sowing and we reap those good things. I was thinking about my husband and I. I'm not trying to just, you know, put it on just our marriage, because there have been marriages that have been married 50 years. But I know anybody would know that if you've been married 50 years, that you put something into it. You had to. You had to keep loving. You had to keep forgiving. And some people say, well, their marriage was so perfect, they never had an argument. Well, I'm not going to say that. But we forgave one another, and we loved one another. We're human beings. But the underneath of everything, we had great, strong foundation of love. I can say that. Jerry and I loved each other. And we were able to work together 24/7 practically. That's not easy sometimes with husbands and wives. But, you know, we have a wonderful family, and I give God all the glory. But you have to put something in it to reap that. It just doesn't happen. Same with our salvation. Same with everything. We have to put something into it. It's not always easy, but it's worth it, right? It's worth it to be diligent, to be faithful to God. God is not mocked. Corinthians 9 and 6. The reason that people scoff at people sometimes, or the religion, because they do not put it to the test. Don't give up. Keep good, healthy sowing in your life until it becomes a manner of your lifestyle. I like that, what I wrote down. I found that somewhere. But don't give up being good. Don't give up sowing good deeds. Keep good, healthy sowing until it becomes a manner of your lifestyle. I was thinking about, let's turn over to Corinthians 6 and 9. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 9 and 6. Yes, 9 and 6. It says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now this is another thing about sowing seeds. You can sow seeds sparingly. You could have a garden, but it could be a very small one. Because all you did was plant, we're talking to sister, plant tomatoes and cucumbers, and that would be wonderful. But then you might see your neighbor's garden, and they were more diligent than you, and they grew corn, and they grew so much more. They planted green beans, and they planted cabbage, and they planted, who knows, just all kinds of stuff. But they put more seeds, they put more work into it, so they... Their harvest was bountiful. Well, you just had a little bit of harvest because you didn't put much into it. That's the way it is with life. We've got to sow. Each one of us has a spiritual bag of seeds. This kind of came to me like this. Each one of us, you have your spiritual bag of seeds, of good seeds, that you can sow. Are you going to sow a little of your seeds? Are you just going to sprinkle them just a little bit? Or are you going to sow that whole bag? And I believe as we sow, God can put more in that bag. It never can run out, you know, as long as we just keep. There's a law of God that if he says, if you sow good seeds, you will reap good seeds. If you sow bad, I'm not focusing too much on the bad part today because of where I'm at. And I think that we need to feed the souls of the righteous. But if we do bad, people that do bad will reap bad. It's the law of God. It can't be any other way. If you sow something bad, you're going to reap that bad consequence. If you sow something good, you're going to reap that good consequence. And praise God today that we can take our spiritual bag of seeds. Remember this. You maybe can't see it, but every one of us has their own spiritual bag. I was thinking about Valentine's Day tomorrow, right? And I was thinking, do we think of it as like, aw, it's just another day. I don't need to show any extra love today. Or do we think, oh, I think think I'd like to put something into this. Maybe a wife might think, I could cook one of his favorite meals. And I could show him my love that way. It's not always just buying candy or roses. Sometimes that's part of it. And sometimes men think, oh, women, they don't need candy and roses. Why do they need those things? They know I love them. I read one time this man said, or he said it. He goes, I don't need to tell my wife I love her because she knows it. Well, but sometimes women like it to be verbalized. And I'm not saying you have to buy candy and roses. I'm not saying that. I'm saying do what God tells you to do. Maybe it's write a love note. Maybe it's just to go up and say I love you. But do something. It's Valentine's Day, right? I don't know how that originated. But anyway, I don't see anything wrong with that. We can show love. My mom is 88 years old. She's almost 89. She's so cute, though, when I talk to her on the phone. She remembers so much. I tell her something, and I'll talk to her again. She'll say, did Bill go to Colorado, or did he fly to Chicago? She remembers things I tell her. That's Tammy's husband. He has to fly for his job sometimes. Did he go? You know, and I'm thinking, oh, my mom, your brain's doing good. You're doing good. My mom says, evidently, she just loves to get candy once in a while. So she let me know. She knew I always get her something for Valentine's. It might not always be candy. It might be a cute blouse or something. You know, not candy. But she said, Marsha, I want candy. So I mailed it through Amazon because that's the easy way to go. You can do whatever you want. But but anyway, but Mom, she let me know I want candy. And the last time I sent her a heart box of candy, she might only eat one or two pieces a day or one piece a day. She saves it for quite a while. It's very special to her. And she goes, I even saved the box a long time after it got empty. It's not that it costs that much or not that it's a big deal in some ways. You know what I'm trying to say? We think of it that way. Oh, it's not that big of a deal to do this. But to her, it meant a lot. And say where we show love, sometimes we sow good deeds of love and we don't think it means a whole lot. And I read one time about when we're in service together or after service or before, and we say hello to one another, we speak to one another. Maybe we just say hi, that's it. But sometimes that means so much to somebody. Or mention their name in prayer or whatever we do. We don't think of it like we're sowing good seeds, but we are. We're showing love. We're showing love, and that's a good thing to do because you sow good seeds. I wonder if my husband, when I cook him a good meal, he always says thank you. But I wonder if he really thinks about the work. How long it takes me to get that ready. He knows how long because sometimes he wants to know if it's ready yet. But, you know, it takes a while for women to cook. But some women just love to do it. Now, I love to do it, but sometimes I want to go out. But sometimes I just love to cook. And when I have the time and I really, you know, we feel inspired more different days. But I love to cook when I do cook. And I'm just saying, these things that we do on a daily basis shows love to our family. You know, we wash the men's clothes. We hang them up in a hanger. They go in there. They never have to worry. There's their clean clothes. There's their clean pajamas. But somebody's doing it, right? Or the man goes out and he works and he brings home a good, nice paycheck. And, oh, this is nice to have this money to go buy my groceries. How we appreciate that husband that works so hard, that's provided for you. I told my husband, I even tell him now so much. He's retired now, but Jerry, these things I enjoy today is because you provided for me. You worked hard for me, and I thank you for that. You know, it's just the seeds that we've sowed, we reap what we sow. It's a very serious thing for us to continue to do good deeds as we go. Psalms 126:6. Praise God. I want to help me, Lord. Help me to know that I need to do this. Psalms 126 and 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Have you ever heard that song? Bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Well, if you know, I don't know what's so much now, but years ago in the old chapel at Guthrie, before the camp meeting came, those that lived there remember this, but it was like they would have these bags of dirty sheets. And you could all get your bag of dirty sheets and take them home and wash them. If you volunteered. I volunteered at times to take the sheets home, my pile, and wash them, bring them back. Well, I had that song on. I was singing, bringing in the sheets. Well, my little Jody, she was a little girl then, she was going around the house, bringing in the sheets, bringing in the sheets. Huh? I thought it was Jody. Maybe it was Rhonda. Anyways, one of the girls. I think maybe it was Rhonda. But bringing in the sheets, we shall come rejoicing and bringing in the sheets. You know how they pick up these songs and they think it's, they tie it into what you're doing. But anyway, that was a good deed. We would do that to get ready. But I wonder about that. I wonder if people realize that when you live in a town where there's camp meeting, how much work goes on to the people that live there. The things that they do. The cleaning the chapel, getting it ready, washing the things, getting the things ready, getting the cooking done, having their days. All this works together to give us a good camp meeting. Same with Monarch. We have a beautiful chapel. We have a beautiful dining hall. But the money that had to come in for that and the workers that came in. I went there one time and I saw so many workers that day. Mostly it was the men, but the women were cooking and bringing food for them and things. But they were, and some of the women were doing a lot in the kitchen. But I'm just saying, they were all working to make this beautiful dining hall for us. All the good deeds of sowing. How we will reap for that. You know, years ago, in my heart, I wanted a cabin. And I prayed, and it looked like all the spots were gone. And I won't get into too much of detail. But it just looked like it was almost, and it wasn't, it was possible with God, because I finally got one. But if I let what was told me, and all the discouragement things that came to me, to think that I would not get that cabin, I would just gave up. But I started singing a little song. I said, Lord, I have a cabin on the corner of Glory Land. And I would sing it and sing it and sing it. And I said, I believe I'm going to have a cabin on the corner of Glory Land. We were given another lot that was kind of, you know, not so good. And we thought about building there. But then all of a sudden, this foundation on the corner at Monarch came available. I went to the funeral of Sister Hargrave. And Brother Johnson came up to me. He said, Sister Marcia, I have a foundation on the corner. Because I hadn't started nothing. He said, if you want to turn in that other lot, he says, and if you want to build your cabin, I can have it done by Monarch this year. It was a brand new foundation, and the people were giving it back because their family was, they were going to live with some family in Neosho, her mother, and so she didn't want it. She didn't want to build a cabin because she was going to live with her mother there at Neosho, so she didn't need it. But God worked it out, and as it was getting built, I was praising God for this cabin. No, it was not just for me and church. I was thinking about my children, my grandchildren. Do you know they all carry cabin keys? Just want to say all. Say some of them. But I know Bridget the other day, she had her key changed. She said, and this is my cabin key. But they've known hardly, some of them have known hardly nothing but having a cabin. From a little child up, going to camp meeting, being so excited. I was thinking about sowing that seed for my children and grandchildren, they could have a place to stay so they could be saved. And I was rejoicing for that cabin, and the Lord spoke to me and said, it's on the corner. It's on the corner. Praise God. Our words, we reap what we say with our words. Be very careful what you say with your words. people say things like, I don't know, just say negative things sometimes. I remember I did take piano lessons years ago for a little while. But my piano teacher, she was talking to me. We did more talking than playing the piano. That's why I'm not all that great. But we enjoyed one another. She was an older lady, and we sat there and would visit, and she told me, she says, Marcia, she said, we got to be careful with our words, because she goes, I was a school teacher, and one day I said, I believe I could teach school with a broken leg. Why she said that, I don't know. But she said, it wasn't very long ago, after that, I got a broken leg. And I had to teach school with a broken leg. And she said, I thought, uh-oh, I shouldn't have said that. Have you ever had that happen to you? Have you ever said the wrong thing and it happened? Well, what about the good things? Why don't we pronounce blessings on our families? Why don't we pronounce blessings on ourselves? Instead of curses, instead of bad things, why don't we start blessing? You know, if I don't know if any up here have an unsaved child or anything, but if we did, you know, we could start praying, or grandchild, we could start praying a blessing on that child. Instead of always complaining they're, you know, they're doing bad things, and they're doing bad things, they keep doing bad things. And if we keep saying that, maybe they'll just keep doing bad things. Why don't we say, you know what, I believe this child's going to turn around, God. I believe you can help them to turn around and be saved. I believe you can help them to do good things. You know, just speak blessings on our family. You will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. So sow good things. So he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I don't know how it'll be in heaven. If there'll be, you know, have you ever heard that story about the Sunday school teacher? And is it really a sweet song? And the person had died and he went to heaven. And the Sunday school teacher said, well, who are you? And he said, well, you were my Sunday school teacher. And you taught me about God. You taught me to be saved. And so, you know, it was just a sweet song. And it's Giving to the Lord. That's the song. Giving to the Lord. I am so glad that I gave. You hear that song? It's beautiful. Giving to the Lord. I am so glad that I gave. So, it just, it's a wonderful thing. I won't say who, but years in the children's meeting, we had children's meeting for many, many years. I had a young lady come to me later, and she said, I remember when you taught me, remember when you prayed with me years ago. Maybe she hadn't been in the Sunday children's meeting, but anyway, she wanted me to go back in the dining hall and pray and get saved. And, you know, I can't even remember if I remember praying with her when she was a little girl. But she remembered, and she wanted me to pray with her, and she got saved. But, you know, just keep doing good deeds. Keep doing the best you can. One of our granddaughters sings very well. God's given her a special blessing. A lot of our granddaughters can sing well, and our grandson. But this one, and I guess she hadn't been singing at the congregation there for a while. And so the pastor sent her a song to listen to. And it was sing. Instead of asking her verbally, he sent her this song. Listen to the song. Sing a song. Sing it well. Sing it strong. Have you heard that song? And it says, it doesn't matter if you think that you're not good enough. The song's not good enough for everyone to hear. Still sing. Sing your song. So see, that's the way it is. The enemy will come along sometime and say, well, my song's just not perfect. It's not, I'm not as good as others. But God wants you to sing that song. Because you know why? It's a seed. It's a seed. Songs are seeds. They give people encouragement. They give people strength. They encourage them. There's sometimes the Lord has brought back a song to me that I'd forgot all about. And it comes back to me, and oh, it's such a blessing to me. Songs are seeds. Spiritual songs are seeds. So it's just wonderful, isn't it? Okay, Proverbs 11 and 25. We will reap what we sow. It's a natural law. 11 and 25 of Proverbs. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. And 31. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more than, much more the wicked and the sinner. The righteous will be recompensed in the earth and in heaven. It is a law of God. You will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. If you reap good deeds, you will reap good deeds. If you put something into your marriage, you're going to have a good marriage. If you put something training your children in the right way, you're going to have good, godly children. Whatever you put forth in your life, be diligent and do your very, very best. And remember, you have a spiritual bag of seeds. What are you going to do with them? What reward are you going to do with those seeds? Every one of us has that opportunity to do good unto all men, especially to the household of faith. So, those who sow good deeds keep reaping and reaping and reaping. I want to read this a little bit. And tomorrow, sow love and you will reap love. Sow patience and somebody will be patient with you. Sow kindness, you're going to reap kindness. Sow forgiveness and you'll get forgiveness. Take money and use it for God and you'll be reaped and you'll be blessed by that. Be careful with your finances, and someday you will reap that hard work. Whatever we do, Paul declares what he believes. Sow. Read the Bible. You know, if you sow with the Word of God, if you memorize scriptures, God will bring that scripture back to you when you're diligent to read the Bible. You know, I think sometimes we think we got to sit down and always read a whole chapter. Maybe you don't have enough time. Read one verse. Write it down. Tape it in your car. Tape it on your refrigerator. Learn that scripture. Memorize it. I have a little Bible, like a little Bible verses on my dresser. And lots of times I'll get those. Many times a day sometimes. Or maybe I'm praying about something special and I'll get it. In fact, I kept getting scriptures and after another. Oh, I got this message. The Lord just, he started talking to me first about reaping what you sowed. And then I just kept getting scriptures that went along with it. But you know, the Lord, he wants us to remember. We're starting out a new year. This is February. But we're starting out a new year. And just what kind of reaping could we get out of this life? This year, of the good deeds that we could sow, the good seeds that we could sow this year, what kind of reaping we could get. There's a couple more things I wanted to read too. I wrote this down. But behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner, much more than them. They're going to have sorrow, they're going to have heartaches, but not as much. The righteous will be recompensed. I was thinking about the natural law. I was thinking about cucumbers. I was thinking about some things that I like. Cucumbers, and I thought, I never did raise any cucumbers. But if I did, I wonder if I planted those seeds, how long it would take before I could harvest a cucumber. So I looked it up, and it said 55 to 70 days. Generally. Now I know you have, I have gardeners here and farmers, so I know that. Okay, so I wanted to get it right, but this is what it said. So, isn't that a wonderful thing? That you can sow those little bitty seeds and reap cucumbers? What if you sow tomatoes, tomato plants? It said to fully mature, it's usually about 2 months. To start getting your tomatoes. I just named a few. And then I thought about peaches. Oh, I love peaches. And you know, You know, as those Colorado peaches we buy sometimes. It's so wonderful. They're so sweet and juicy and good. I don't know. It seems like the older I get, the more I enjoy food. I'll be careful with that. But the thing is, I just don't know why. I just appreciate it more. I guess you think, what haven't I tried? You know what I mean? Things like that. But peaches, they're so wonderful. And if you take the peaches and you grow them, how long will it take before, if you grow little peaches in the house and you get a little plant? It takes about 3 months. Okay, you take that little plant, you put it in your yard. How many years would it take to get a tree where you really would get peaches off that tree? Does anybody know? Well, the reason I know is because I looked it up this morning, okay? But if you plant that tree, it says 2 to 4 years, and this is 3 to 4 years. So I guess we would be really safe to say 4 years, 3 to 4 years. 4 years, you'll have a tree where you can walk out and pluck that peach. What an experiment. Wouldn't that be nice if one of us would try that? Wouldn't it? Get excited about life. You know what I mean? We can do all kinds of things we haven't done. We can grow a peach tree. So then how long are you going to get peaches off that tree? The tree will bear fruit about 12 years. That's 66 pounds of fruit. But anyway, that's the lesson. We reap what we sow. There's so many things in life. I don't know, God brings it back to me quite often about we reap what we sow. Keep sowing good seeds. Keep, be diligent. Be excited about life because there's so many good things that we can reap from it. Pray for me.